All right. Let's go to Esther chapter 5. Esther 5. We're just going to continue plod through this wonderful story. We left Esther 2 weeks ago, and things were not looking good. Corruption, evil. There was a plot and a plan by an evil man. His name was Haman, and he hated Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew who loved God and wanted to be faithful to God in the midst of really a very evil and wicked time, where that Haman was demanding really worship of himself, but Mordecai just refused to bow down to any man. He refused to bow down, you know, to an evil system, to not give honor to the true and living God. And because of that, I mean, that's a very dangerous thing. Mordecai, because Haman refuses, because Mordecai refuses to, again, disobey the Lord. He's just infuriated. He is just explodes in anger. I mean, he wants to deal with this guy. And so ultimately the plan is that he'll not only get rid of Mordecai, but all of Mordecai's people. And we left the story where that he goes into the king and basically paints a picture of this rebellious person, but not only one person, Mordecai, but of a very dangerous and rebellious people. That the Jews were a danger to Xerxes, and that the Jews were a danger to the nation. And again, we can, you know, kind of see that in our day and age. You know, there's genocide occurring right now this morning, throughout many nations in the Middle East. Just open, open season on anyone who claims Christ. You will not find it at all reported in the mainstream media. When you come to a place in a nation, doesn't history just repeat itself over and over and over and over again? And again, I think that you see that Satan hates God. He hates God's people. And so over and over and over again, you see these attempts to eliminate, you know, God's people. And it was no different here. There is hope, and that's where we left it. Esther, through God's providence, through His working, you know, in this dark time, we might think Tuesday is a dark time. You know, we might look at Tuesday as, wow, you know, I'll choose the better of the worst choices that I have, and that's all. You know what? That's all right. I think that we're not looking. Hopefully, we're praying. Hopefully, the Lord is leading us, and hopefully, we're willing to participate in a huge privilege that we have in America to at least voice, you know, what we feel would be the best choice. And it's good to participate in that. It's just like Paul, as he was on his way to Rome, he was going to be killed. He was being accused. The Jews actually plotted to ambush him on the way. Well, rather than, of course, God protects him, but what does Paul do? He appeals to Caesar. Paul was a Roman citizen, so he had certain rights. And so being a Christian, I'm sure Paul said, well, I'm trusting God. I'm sure he said that. I think it's clear he lived that. But part of trusting God was saying, you know what? I'm trusting God, but there's an avenue here I can use. I'm a Roman citizen. I can claim Roman citizenship. Therefore, there are certain rights that are mine and certain rights that I can take advantage of that might extend my life, that might give me other opportunities. You know what? I can share the gospel with the most powerful person in the world at this time. I appeal to Caesar. And that's what Paul did. And so I think that, you know, again, Tuesday, we'll do that. We'll go, hopefully, to the voting place and use our rights as American citizen, right? To cast our voice, to cast a vote, to choose, make a choice. And then we trust God. After we do that, we trust God. And so during this very dark time, there were those that were trusting God. Esther was trusting God. God had put her, unbeknownst to her really at the time, in a place of influence and in a position where that just at the right time, and I love that verse, we'll read it in a second here, where that she realized, you know, maybe through my whole life, maybe God has brought this whole thing around to this point in time just for this reason, that I can step in and God can use me. And the verse that I was referring to is that in 14, as she's thinking, you know, how can I do this? How can I go to the king? I've been invited to go into the king. Even though I'm the queen, I need permission to go into the king to speak to him. I can't just go barging in through the doors and demand an audience with the king. I'll lose my life. And so as she's wondering what she should do, again, the king was really inaccessible even to Esther. She sees what? An incomparable opportunity. And you know what? If she goes in and perishes, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, right? When you think of Esther, you think of that verse, for such a time as this. You know, it's no mistake that we're here right now. It's no mistake that God has engineered our lives for now. 2016. Because God wants to use us for such a time as this, for the time that we, you know, while there's still light, right? While there's still opportunity. We want to make the most of the time. We want to make the most of the chances that we have. I was thinking of Jesus this week and the Jews and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. They were trying to trap him. They wanted to get rid of him. And so one of the things that they decided to do, they knew that Jesus spent time with people in need. They knew what Jesus' heart was. And so on a Sabbath day, they invite Jesus to a gathering, a meal. But they not only invite Jesus, they also invite a man who is in great need. Jesus goes to the house. He goes to the meal. And what does Jesus do? Once he's there, it's on a Sabbath, Jesus doesn't, I'm sure he did, but his heart didn't go to the host of the evening. His heart didn't go even to his enemies. His heart didn't go maybe to what we might consider his best friend. That's where my heart usually goes. You know, I walk into a room. Who do I know? Who do I feel comfortable with? You know, I'm going to gravitate that way. You know, I'll have something to say to that person. You know, I'll hang out, I'll feel, you know, in a group of people, at least I'll feel, you know, kind of comfortable with somebody I know. That's not where Jesus' heart and eyes went. His heart and eyes would immediately find the person there that was in the greatest need. Why? Because he came, what did we learn 3 weeks ago? He came to what? Heal the brokenhearted. To bind up the wounds. To set the captives free. Right? That was his heart. And so what happens? He's there, it's a Sabbath, and there's a guy there that needs healing. And what does he do? He heals them. That's exactly what his enemies wanted him to do. Why? Because in doing that, he breaks. Quote, he works on the Sabbath. He's broken the law. Wow. I want to have that heart, right? I want to, in these days and times, for such a time as this, that's where I want my focus to be, my heart to be. And so it was a very dark time for them. But what we're going to see is that God has his lights in that very dark time. God's working things out. I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. God does. And he's going to allow and bring about ultimately the result that's going to ultimately further his kingdom and further his purposes. And so as we come to this story, Esther now says, you know what? I'm going to do what I can. If I remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. You know what? If I do nothing in my day and age, if I do nothing in my lifetime, He'll raise up somebody else to do something. God isn't going to be stymied by my refusal to be a light. If I never share the gospel, if I never reach out to anybody, you know, God just raised somebody else up to do it. That's why I love being a Christian. That's why I love just every day is such an adventure. And it's just like, wow, God's eyes are running to and forth throughout the whole earth looking for anybody that would just serve him, that would just share the gospel, just bring life and help, encouragement and hope to somebody, healing to somebody. And so Esther, she's going to be the person. Let's go to chapter 5. Now, it happened on the third day. Isn't that interesting? The third day. How many times the third day? I mean, that's the day, right? If there's a day, it's the third day. And so on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court. She found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. I can't do this. I won't do this. I won't put myself in danger. I can't be involved. Well, then she wouldn't have been involved, but she was willing to do what she could do, right? She said, I can be involved. So she put herself, she put herself in a place where, hey, the king will see me. Chance, I don't have to barge in. I don't have to, you know what? If this is the Lord, right? We were working at a house. Mike and I were working at a house, and this guy, I said, I want to share the gospel with him. And I went home. I told Kim, I want to share the gospel with him. I think there's a way, you know. Next day, I get there, 9 o'clock, the guy shows up. Hey, I took off work. I'm going to help you. I'm thinking, oh, today I'm going to be with him all day. You know, Lord. I was thinking, open up a door. He just keeps talking. I'm thinking, oh, throughout the sometime today, open up a opportunity where I can share the gospel with them. And oh, I came home early. I'm going to help you. And you know what? I'm just so upset. Right? I'm going, oh, you're upset. What could he? I'm upset. My daughter. He goes into this whole story. Never stop about how his daughter has been hurt, how his heart is breaking because his daughter's been hurt. And he doesn't know exactly what's going on, but it's something at school, something's going. What more did I need? Here's a guy, he's upset, something's going on with his daughter. I said, Lord, I want to share the gospel with them. I shared the gospel with them. Mike and I stood with him. We didn't pray that he didn't pray to accept the Lord. But you know what he did do? He did pray that God would help him in that whole situation and that his daughter, whatever was going on there, it could all be figured out and his daughter could be helped. Wow! Just to have that desire, just to say, you know what? Lord, please give me an opportunity today. I want to share the gospel. Lord, I'm beginning my day with you. I want to put myself in a place that if it's your will, Lord, that you'd use me today, that you'd use me to share the truth with somebody, that you'd use me, Lord, maybe I can just pray with somebody. I'm going to share it honestly this morning. Clark, I'm still, that message is still banging in my head and my heart. That's what I want. I mean, we get calls all the time. I don't know about you. We get calls all the time. And I was telling Kim this week, I said, Kim, and part of it is just because of, I think, where you know, kind of who we are, I think, you know, but I said, Lord, just because I know what you've done, I know you've placed us, and I'm glad we get those calls, but because we get so many calls, Lord, help me never to become hard. And what I mean by that is that some days I'll get six calls. I always want to pray. I never want to come to the place where, well, you know, that's not that important. Do you understand that I want to have that heart? Oh, there's a need here. I want to feel that need. I want to have compassion on that situation. I want to pray. Lord, help. Lord, heal. Lord, bring hope. You know, we can be in it. And it can just be, well, geez, you know, this is all I... Well, that's a good thing. Isn't it a good thing that's what you get? That you get six calls, that you get eight calls, that you get one call. Lord, thank you that I can pray. Thank you that I can go to the very throne of right into your presence and touch this situation. What did Esther do? She goes, and it's on the third day, and she places herself in a position where that, hey, maybe the Lord will do something here, right? And Lord, help me to do that. Help me to place myself in a situation. Maybe the Lord will do something here. Yeah, I bet you, for you parents that have kids now, if you put your kids in the right situations, I bet that's going to impact their lives. Boy, there's just a chance that they will begin hearing from the Lord themselves. So, here's the queen. The king said to her, verse 3, what do you wish?
Wow!
And interesting. This guy was so upset. He wanted prayer. I didn't even have to ask him. He wanted prayer. I went up to Tack Metal Roofing in Frewsburg, and I drive in there. There's two state cop cars in there. Just crazy. I needed to buy some roofing. I thought, geez. The lady there, she's so frantic and so stressed out. I felt bad. I looked at her and said, I can come back. No. And then the Lord spoke to me. I said, well, you need to pray with her. You know, she's going, you know, whatever's going on here. I mean, the cops are there. They got a guy in handcuffs. You know, they're talking to some other guys. I said, you know what? I said, I don't want to bother you. And I said, I don't really know what's going on here. But you're really upset, aren't you? I'm really, it's awful. I said, why don't we pray? I said, you want to pray right now? She wanted to pray. It's interesting. She looks at me and she says, well, what do I have to do? In other words, what do I have to do to pray? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, most people, if you say pray, you kind of know what that is? I don't know. I guess, again, that's where our society has come, right? I think it's been 10 years now, but it's been a while. Our Harvest Carnival, I can remember, I was shocked. I started talking to some of the kids that were here, because we hand out Bibles every time. And they had claimed that there wasn't a single Bible in their home. I'm going, this is America. What? You don't have a Bible? There's no Bibles in your home? No. You've never read out of the Bible? No. You've never heard anybody read out of it? No. Oh, I think that's a lot more today than it was back then. But that's where we're headed. And so prayer, I mean, something as simple as prayer. I said, you know what? You don't have to do anything. I'll just pray with you. Let me pray with you. Esther, she, you know, what do you wish? What did this lady wish? She just wanted that chaos to stop. She wanted peace. She wanted to know that this would be all right. She got to work and found this thing happened there. And so, what a neat thing. What did Queen Esther need? I mean, boy, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. What do you need, Esther? Isn't it neat when we're just praying and Lord, up to you, but I just want you to know, again, I'm available today. If you could use me. And then the Lord comes, basically, and he said, well, what do you want? Or you have somebody walk up to you and say, this is the worst day of my life. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And you're right there and you know what? I can pray with you. You know, I've had worse days. Probably the worst day of my life that I can remember was when my daughter was criminalized. I didn't know. You know, if I could have got a gun and killed whoever did it, I probably would have done it that day. I was so mad, and I said, I don't know what to do. And so I picked up the phone. I called the guy that was here 3 weeks ago, Clark. I said, I need to talk to somebody. This is what's happened. He says, Jeff, I've been through the same thing. My daughter was raped. I go, of all the people I could have called. And God had it arranged. He jumped in the car and drove up and spent time just praying with us and talking with us. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I was so angry. Wow. Isn't it neat? I call Clark. Clark. It's easy. The king. What do you want me to do? We can go to the king. Isn't it neat? You know, here we thought the king was inaccessible. He's not. And Esther's in the presence of the king, and the king says, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? You know, this morning, our king's saying, what can I do for you? What do you need? And I'm not saying he's the, you know, the slot machine. You know. No, he loves us and he's concerned. He's been what? He's been affected and tempted and gone through everything that we would ever go through. He's a friend, right? He's a savior that is not, he's not unfeeling. He knows. He's hurt. He's been denied. He's been rejected. He's been betrayed, hasn't he? And so he knows. Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what's your petition? It'll be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done. Wow. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this, if I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. And so she, I mean, really right now, her pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, it's not, she didn't say, I would have probably said, I'd like a triaxle full of gold and, you know, give me the tropical island over here. And no, just, hey, I'm going to throw a banquet. You know, come and hang out with me. Bring Haman. So, Haman went out that day joyful. Haman. There is a principle that's expressed in the Bible that we reap, and then what do? We sow. And this story is always, you know, really amplified that truth. In the spring, last spring, I sowed corn. I go down back now and I'm reaping what? Corn. There's stalks, you know, 13 foot, 12 foot high, and there's big ears on those things. Why? Because I sowed corn. We're going to see. I mean, that's a principle. If I sow the things of the Spirit, I'll reap the things of the Spirit, right? If I sow wickedness, if I sow sin, the consequences of those things I'm going to experience. And so Haman, what's he done? He's jealous. He's angry. He's prideful. He's greedy. He's God. And so he's reaped. He's sowed all these things. Now he's going to, to his surprise, wow, he's going to reap what he sowed. What a twist. Well, Haman, he has this idea that the king's going to honor him. After all, who's been more faithful in the kingdom than Haman? So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. I'm going to get him. He's done. It's a done deal. And he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced above all the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Pretty, again, elite company. Yet all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high in the morning. You know, build this gallows. You know, let's get, now's your chance. You know, let's just get rid of him. Look at, you're in such a position, such power. Build a gallows 75 feet high, so that Mordecai can be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. This pleased Haman, so he has the gallows made. He's going to get rid of his enemy. He's got it all worked out in his mind, how he's going to be honored, how he's going to be exalted, how he's going to prosper, how he's found favor, and he can do whatever he wants. And he's poor old Mordecai. All right, well, what's going to happen? That night the king could not sleep. Verse 1 of chapter 6. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Isn't that interesting? Again, this guy isn't a Christian, but the records of the Chronicles are going to be read. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of, remember way back, these guys were going to kill the king. And Mordecai alerts the king to this. Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? The king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for this. Isn't it neat how, again, we never want to do anything that we get for ourselves. Although I have to be honest, I do that, right? True agape, true love is what? We lay down our lives, we give away expecting nothing in return. I mean, because I'm frail, and I'm fleshly, even though I don't want to be, I'm always saying, man, that could be a benefit here, right? And so Mordecai, he'd done a great thing, but he'd never been rewarded for it. Mordecai wasn't whining about it. Mordecai just continued to live his life, right? He just continued to serve God. He just continued to be faithful to God. In his mind, I don't know, he was in trouble. He was going to be killed and all the Jews were going to be killed and wiped out. Here he faithfully served God and look at what it's got me. How many times have we said that? I faithfully served God and look, I whine. You know what? I want to just faithfully serve God, and if I go to the cross, I go to the cross. Faithfully serve God. Paul, he wasn't whining, right? Up to the day they chopped his head off, he was sharing the gospel with the very people that were going to chop his head off. Wow. We are so soft around here, especially in America. Our view of what Christianity is so, oh God, I deserve this, and if I'm a Christian, then this is really what it is. No, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You know, why don't we hear about the cross anymore? Why don't we hear about the cross life anymore? That's the true discipleship life. So Mordecai hadn't been rewarded. So the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai. The king's going to honor Mordecai. And Haman, he's got it all in his mind. Ah, this is the right time. I can get rid of this guy. He'd prepared the whole thing. And the king's servant said to him, Haman's there. standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done? Haman's thinking that the king is going to honor him. Haman thinks that this is all being done for him. What shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Man, I bet he thought about this. Wow. Now Haman thought in his heart, who would the king delight to honor more than me? Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor. Let's not go too far overboard here. But you know what? I'd like a royal robe. A royal robe that the king has worn. I'd like a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on his head, on the horse. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand. Maybe I could be on the top step of the palace, of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor, and then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested to do so for Mordecai. I mean, can you imagine what this guy? Wow. What a turnabout. Man, Haman, he probably wanted to, if there would have been a, they probably didn't have woodchucks. What they got over there? What are those little, they look like woodchucks. What are they called? Come on, in the Psalm, Proverbs, what are they? They look like our woodchucks. I mean, if there would have been a hole there, if he could have got down it, he probably would have went down it. Wow. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse. Do so for Mordecai, the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. And so Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed. I mean, he did. Can you imagine him having to do this? What, someday, every knee, can you imagine? Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. All those, they stand and they curse God. Oh, they mock the Lord. They hate the things of the Lord. They're going to bow. And they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning with his head covered. And when Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Yeah, I love that because in the New Testament, we look at what even we might perceive as the cloud, the storm clouds rolling and forming, and oh my, what's going to take? The gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus is King. The victory is won. And so, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. And ultimately, we're going to see that Haman's end is not a good one. What had Haman done? He'd actually built the gallows to hang Mordecai on. Who hangs on it? Haman. Now, I got to be honest, a lot of things that I do in my life, I end up hanging on them. I think I can be free to do this. I think that, I can handle that. I think that it's all right. I can justify my responses and reactions in the flesh. You know, I, I justified one last Wednesday going down this road right here. And afterwards, I was embarrassed, but it's 15 miles an hour down there when them blinker lights are going. And so I'm going 15 miles an hour, and this woman is double yellow line. So a woman comes up and starts passing me. And I don't know, it was a beautiful afternoon. I don't know if you remember it. And I was in my old pickup out there. And I actually hung my head out the window and shook my fist at her. What are you doing, you stupid woman? I mean, it was dangerous. I don't know if there was another response I could have had or not. I could have just let her go by. But I did that twice. And I'm going, oh. And then she followed me all the way into, you know, till I turned off. I'm going, what is she think? I'm glad I don't have my Jesus bumper sticker on there right now. Yeah, I just react. I said, you idiot. What are you doing? Yeah, it's embarrassing, isn't it? And I just, you know, how many times have I done stupid things like that? And it's just like I end up hanging myself. And I, you know what? The Lord will let us do it. Hopefully I learn from it. And you know what? Sow righteousness. Put yourself in places that you're entertaining the king, and you can hear from the king, where the king might provide something for you that all you have to do is walk through an open door that he's opened, and you're bringing life to somebody. You're encouraging somebody. You're bringing hope to someone. You're bringing healing to some and deliverance to someone's life. That's what Esther did. She didn't know the outcome of this, but she knew that God was with her. She ultimately came to the place that, you know what? I'm here for a reason, and it's God's reason. We're here for a reason. It's God's reason. Hey, if America's going down the toilet, you know what? We can still be light. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. So let's be it. Let's stand for Jesus. Let's put ourselves in a place where that we're going to see the hand of God. Let's know that God wants to use us, that He's in us, that He wants to work through us. Let's be vessels in these last days. Let's vote Tuesday. Let's vote our heart. Let's vote what the Spirit's told us to do. Then let's trust God. Let's continue to pray. Boy, wouldn't it be neat if God would bring revival? I would say we need to be praying every day for, you know, forget what's out there. Lord, revive me. Lord, revive the church. Bring revival again. I'll tell you, if we're revived, if the church would experience revival, we'll touch the world again in a beautiful way. And so it's an exciting thing to live in these times. I think they're very challenging times. They're very chaotic times. Boy, I want to get up tomorrow. Jesus, you could come today. I'm going to live my life like you're coming today. And so even though I got to be up on a roof, even though you got to be in the shop, even though you've got to be in the office, even though you got to be, you know, cleaning the bathroom and the bedroom and the living room because the weekend is gone now and everything's, you know what? I'm looking for you, Lord. And I'm here. I'm available. Use me today. You know what? Recognize that phone call might be God wanting to use you. You know, I'm just going to stay home today. I'm going to be cleaning the house. You get the phone call, that's God. When you're out and about, those encounters are all God encounters. You're his child, right? You're a righteous one. And the steps of a righteous one are what? Ordered by the Lord. And so it's no chance thing that you banged into that person. It's no chance thing that's all God. And I want to be like Esther. Here I am. I'm in a place. God, use me now. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to live this way. Lord, help us to see the opportunity. Lord, you're not inaccessible. And so, Lord, when we leave here, Lord, we want to be light. We want to be salt. Lord, we want to have your heart. Lord, that we would see the brokenhearted. Lord, that we would want to set the captive free. Lord, that we want to break the chains that bind the minds and the hearts and the spirits of those that are lost and oppressed and possessed and so bound.